Well, hello and welcome to Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Rick's going to kick off a new series called Building My Life on Values That Last. In these inspiring lessons, Rick shows us practical ways to apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love. Now here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Choosing My Standard.
What are your values? Your values are your core beliefs that shape everything you do in life. There are a lot of people who say, you know, it really doesn't matter what you believe. But that's just not true, folks. It is not true. It does matter what you believe. Your beliefs, let's get this, your beliefs determine your behavior, and your behavior determines what you become. So the kind of person you are, if you look at its foundation, is based on the things you've chosen to value. In other words, your convictions in life determine your conduct. And your conduct determines your character. So whatever you want to be in life, you better figure out quick what your values are, because they determine your stress level, your success, your salvation, and many, many other things. Now, if you want to build a lasting life of success and significance, you must build it on lasting values. And that's what we're going to look at in this series. Now, one thing that basically everybody in our society agrees with today, whether you're liberal or whether you're conservative, Democrat, Republican, independent, whether you are religious or irreligious, a Christian or an unchristian or an atheist or whatever, the majority of people say that our society today is in a stage of spiritual, or not spiritual, but moral decline. There's a decaying of values in our society. Many studies, many surveys say that over 80% of Americans say that the number one problem in America now is not the economy, but it's the decline and decay of moral values. George Gallup just recently did a poll and discovered that Americans today are more interested in values than at any other time in the past 60 years. It's a very, very hot item. In fact, I asked my researchers who helped me with studying for messages to go. I said, go out and find me, just see if there are any current articles in magazines, not religious ones, but just secular magazines that deal with the concern about the moral decline and decaying of values in America. Just find some recent ones. And they came back with 350 articles. I thought I'd read you just a few of the titles. These are out of all the major national magazines. These are the titles. Is the U.S. morally in trouble? Can we save our culture? The character deficiency syndrome. Fighting to fill the values gap. The decline of a nation of liars. The moral obtuseness in America. Living in the new dark ages. A nation of finger pointers, blaming everyone else. How moral deprivation breeds kids with attitudes. Morals and mixed signals. The People magazine sin poll. I'd like to read that one. The new dangers of relativism. Shifting realities. Our moral makeover. The spiritual void and drug use. When winning is the only thing. Signs of hope amid moral decay. Why is common courtesy less common? Beyond materialism. The sexual revolution reconsidered. Faultiness, the lack of responsibility in our society, and how disregard for the truth has become epidemic in America. And what we discovered is that every single national magazine has devoted at least one cover to this issue of values and moral decline in the last 2 years. Now, this crisis can be seen in many, many areas. I've just listed five of them there. Politics, business, entertainment, education, even religion. If I said, take some time right now and write down the current scandal in each of these areas, you'd be able to do it because of this crisis that's going on. Now, what is the cause of all of this? Why is there so much concern about this in our society? Well, today we're going to look at the cause of moral decline, the cause of why people aren't building their lives on values, the cost of it to our families and ourselves, and we're going to look at the cure. And the next week, we get into all of the problems. This is just, all of the solutions. This is just the introduction. What is the cause of the crisis of values in our society? Two words. Would you write this down? Truth decay. Not tooth decay, but truth decay. And the fact is, we no longer value the truth excuse me, in America. Instead, we value two other things. We value convenience, is it easy? And we value pragmatism, does it work? Today, people really don't care about the truth. In fact, some people even question, is there such a thing as truth, universal truth? And they say, what I want to know is, does it work and is it easy? And if it works in my life and if it's easy, I don't care if it's true or not, that's good enough for me. Now, in the generation that fought World War II, those people, when they did wrong, they knew they were doing wrong. And they chose, they said, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. And they would do it. There was no disagreement about what was right or wrong or what was true. Today, though, it's very different. We have an entire generation of young people and children who don't even know the difference between right and wrong. And there are parts of our society today say, there's no such thing as right and wrong. What may be right for you may be wrong for me. What may be right for me may be wrong for you. So there are no standards by which you can evaluate your life or evaluate your behavior. Now, what happened? Why is it that in just one generation's time, we went from general agreement on this is true to today, if I stood up and said, this is true, and this is true, and this is true, and this is right, and this is wrong, there would be all kinds of controversy about it. And it just happened in one generation. What happened? We were sold a bill of goods. We fell for three very destructive philosophies that have replaced truth in our society. You might write these down, and then we're going to I'll explain the implications in your life. The first of these destructive philosophies is individuality, or individualism. And individualism says basically this, live for myself, that only I can be the standard of my life, only I can judge what's really true, only I can judge what's right, and only I can judge what's wrong, and you don't have any place in telling me what's right or wrong or true. Because I basically am my own God, and I live for myself, and have you ever heard this phrase? I've got to do what's best for me. That's called individualism. A recent survey by the Wall Street Journal of executives across America discovered that when executives in America have an ethical crisis, about 44% of them say, I consult with myself. And only 3% say, I consult with God. See, they're saying, I set myself up as the standard. Now, this is nothing new. Individualism has gone on in nations for centuries, millenniums. In fact, thousands of years ago, the nation of Israel fell prey to this. If you ever want to read the dark ages of the nation of Israel, read the book of Judges, because it was a time of total chaos. Why was it chaos? Well, look at this verse on your outline, Judges 21. In those days, Israel had no authority, in other words, no king or anybody else. So the people did, read the rest with me, whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Does that sound vaguely contemporary? They say, I just do whatever I think's right. And if there are no judges, there's no standard, there's no rule, there's no law, there's no absolutes, then hey, I can do whatever I want. Now, that's an easy philosophy to hold on to because it means I never have to feel guilty. Because I don't have to measure up to my standards or your standards or anybody else. And if you say, well, this is right, then you go, well, that may be right for you. But for me, I am an individual and I run my own life. And that's the first philosophy. The result of it in the nation of Israel was anarchy. And that's going to be the result of if America keeps going that way here. Because only thing that matters is me. The second philosophy that we've bought into is called secularism. And secularism can be summarized in three words. God is unnecessary. Doesn't mean I don't believe there is a God. Oh, yeah, I believe there is a God. I just don't need him in my life. And for the last 40 years, we have been systematically removing God from every area of public life, out of the schools, out of the government, out of the media, out of the newspapers, out of all of the different areas of public opinion in life, and we've basically relegated God to Sunday mornings. Oh, I believe in God, but it's just, he's just a little slice over there, and then I really live the rest of my life. Because God isn't necessary. I've got it all together on my own. You see, again, this has all happened in just 40 years. 40 years ago, most schoolrooms had the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall, a standard of moral authority. And 40 years ago, many, if not most, schoolrooms, classes began with prayer. And 40 years ago, the majority of people in America went to church. More people went to church than didn't go to church. Now today, that's exactly the opposite. It's flip-flopped. Obviously, there's no Ten Commandments or prayer in schools. And the majority of people don't go to church today than do. And the number one purveyor of values today is not God or Bible or church or even parents. It's television. And so in secularism, God's been removed from the mainstream. This is talked about in the book of Romans, chapter 1. It says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped created things rather than the Creator. That's called today, folks, materialism. When you worship things instead of the God who created everything. That's why there'll be more people at the beach and at the mountains today than worshiping their tan than they are in church worshiping God. And we hear about all of these uneducated tribes in some dark forest. And we say, isn't it sad that these tribes, they get a little piece of wood and they carve it into an idol, then they bow down in front of it and they worship it. How uneducated. But Americans have idols too that we worship. The only difference is our idols have chrome on them. Okay? And they have a little thing out on the front of the hood that says, this is how much I paid for this car. And a lot of people worship their boat, their house, their career, and anything that is created rather than worshiping God. So God is unnecessary, and I live for myself. The third philosophy that we've fallen prey to is called relativism. Relativism. Now, that doesn't mean you have bad relatives stay at your house for weeks. You can summarize relativism in two words. It's the words, no absolutes. No absolutes. And the idea behind relativism kind of goes like this. You know, what's true for me may not be true for you. And what's truth for you may not be truth for me. Therefore, what's right for me may not be right for you. What's right for you may not be right for me. And nobody can say what's right or wrong because all truth is relative. And it just, you know, it's kind of vague out there. Now, again, that's a great way to live if you don't want to have any guilt, because then you say, well, that's your standard. Well, my standard's this. And if I don't measure up to God's standard, well, I just lower the bar a whole bunch. And then I say, oh, look how great I am. Now, this is a problem. And it comes up in a lot of familiar phrases. For instance, have you ever heard this one? It doesn't matter what you do as long as you're sincere, and it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you sincerely believe it. Are you familiar with this? It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And whenever I hear that, I want to go, oh, really? Have you thought through the logical extension of that? Oh, really? It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. You can be sincerely wrong and be sincere. I mean, let's say this. Let's say this cup. I think this cup is filled with water for me to drink, but it's really filled with sulfuric acid. Just kidding. And I could drink that thinking it was water, but it's sulfuric acid, and I would be sincerely dead. It does matter what you believe. How about this? Let's say after church, you're going to go get on the freeway, and you go up what you sincerely believe is the on-ramp to the freeway. But the truth is, it's really the off-ramp. Now, is sincerity enough to keep you from having an accident? No. Does the truth matter in that situation? Absolutely it does. Because you're getting ready to have a major collision that may take your life. It takes more than just sincerity. And so while you're driving up this on-ramp, which is really an off-ramp, the freeway, some guy's coming off the off-ramp, he rolls down his window and he irately yells to you, "Wrong way!" And if you believe in relativism, you say, "Well now, who are you to tell me what's wrong? Who made you the judge of my life? I mean, it may be true for you, but it may not be true for me. I mean, for you, this may be an off-ramp. For me, it's an on-ramp." Okay? So don't be so judgmental and narrow-minded. And you know, let me tell you something. When people tell you the truth, they're not judging you. They're being kind. They're being kind. And there are very few people who will level with you today and say, "Look, you're blowing it. You go down that track, you're going to miss it. You're going to head in for a major head-on collision." And when people go through a major crisis like, you know, should I move in with this guy? Or should I get a divorce? Or should I, you know, take drugs? Or any kind of ethical crisis. And people all around you go, "Well, you know, you just whatever's best for you." They don't love you. Because people who tell you the truth are those who love you. They're not judging you. They're just telling you the truth. Now, there's another phrase that relativism uses, and it goes like this. There are no absolute truths in life. There are no absolutes. Have you ever heard this one? Any of you ever heard this one? Yeah, most of you, yeah? Whenever somebody says to me, "There are no absolutes." In fact, I was in a class one day as a high school student, and the teacher stood up in a philosophy class and he said, "There are no absolutes in life." And I said, "Are you absolutely sure?" Now, folks, let me tell you something. Don't ever let anybody con you with pseudo-intellectualism. With statements like, "It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere," and "There are no absolute truths." That, folks, is not only illogical, it's irrational. In the first place, it's illogical because that statement in itself is an absolute. There are no absolutes. You've just stated one, which means, obviously, that one's wrong. Think that through now. Think that through. You cannot make an absolute statement that there are no absolutes. That's illogical. But more than that, it's just pure irrational because the fact is the whole world proves that the world is built on things that you can depend on because they are absolutely true. For instance, there is an absolute truth called gravity. Are you familiar with this one? What if all of a sudden, say, every 8 or 9 minutes, God turned off gravity? You'd all be floating up in the ceiling here, okay? But one of the reasons we build chairs is because you can depend on gravity to pull you down and something needs to hold you up. When NASA makes a rocket launch to the moon, you know the moon's over here? They don't aim the rocket toward the moon. They aim the rocket way over here. Why? Because the moon is moving and so is the Earth. And so they have to aim it at a place where there isn't even a moon yet. So that by the time the rocket gets there, the moon's there. Now, how do they figure that out? Because God has established the entire universe on some universal laws that are always true and can always be depended on. And you never have to doubt that, well, maybe one time it won't be true. No. God always makes these laws true. And truth is ongoing. Now, for instance, let's say you got a bronchitis or sore throat, and you get a prescription, and you walk in and say, "Here's the prescription that the doctor gave me for my bronchitis." 10 minutes later, the pharmacist comes back and gives you medicine for schizophrenia. You say, "I don't need this." Well, you know, there are no absolutes, so I thought this medicine would be as good as any other. In fact, you look a little neurotic, and so I thought you could take this, you know? And I know that there's a certain thing that says only 80 mg of this medicine, but I thought 3,000 megagrams would be, mg's would be exactly what you need. So I know this is 5 times over the limit of actual dose. It may kill you, but I don't care because it really means truth is evasive. And it may be true for that doctor, but not for me. Now, when you go to a pharmacist, are you interested in absolute truth? Yes. You want just the right amount of just the right medicine, because not any medicine will do, and every medicine is not equal. And every medicine is not valid, and every medicine is not equally good for you. You want the one. See, truth is narrow, folks. That's why it's called the truth. And God says, I want you to know the truth. I mean, what if there were no traffic laws? What if, for instance, let's say stop signs meant stop whenever you feel like it? What if the line in the middle road meant stay on this side if you want to? We would have no world. You'll all be dead. Even people, even philosophers who claim there are no absolutes in life, get very interested in absolutes when they're being violated. For instance, if all of a sudden my neighbor says, I don't believe there are any absolutes, so I start building an extension to my house 20 feet onto his property. All of a sudden, there needs to be a law here. Well, there cannot be any law unless there are some absolute things that are right and wrong. So don't let anybody con you, because we have been conned by individualism, live for myself, secularism, God is unnecessary, and relativism, which is there are no absolutes. You see, now in today's society, in relativism, which is the prevailing attitude, the highest value in our society is tolerance. Tolerance. Because we value tolerance more than truth. You don't want to say the truth because you may hurt somebody. You may offend somebody. They may disagree with you. And what we're supposed to do is tolerate each other. The worst sin in our society is to be intolerant. The worst label to be labeled is to be labeled judgmental. You're narrow-minded, you're judgmental, you're intolerant. Now, would you write this down? It's not judgmental to tell the truth. It's not judgmental to tell the truth. You say, well, I believe that this lifestyle is the right way. Oh, no, but I believe this lifestyle is the right way. Well, God says this lifestyle is the right way. And he's telling the truth. He's not being judgmental. He's just telling the truth. It's not judgmental to tell the truth. In fact, not only that, tolerance, the word tolerance, has been redefined in our society. Go look up the word tolerance in a dictionary. And this is what it used to mean. Tolerance used to mean, I will respect you and treat you with dignity, even though I violently disagree with you. That's what tolerance means. I'll respect you and treat you with dignity, even though I disagree with what you believe.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick. I've got some great news to share with you today. We've got some generous friends of Daily Hope that have offered a $50,000 matching grant. And now here's Rick to tell you more about it.
You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the Word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me. Pray for me and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people who are going to be in heaven because you cared.
You know, when you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're really sharing the hope of Jesus with people all over the globe. And right now, your gift is going to be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. That's right, double. Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, please go to PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.